Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Thursday. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve Jones will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And a lot to get to today. Steve had mentioned throughout the day today on the teaser for the show, the Astros cheating scandal, the gift that keeps on giving to talk radio. We'll get a lot to get to about that coming up in a second, but first, we have the bombshell report from ESPN's Adam Schefter. We'll hear a couple cuts from him in a little bit on this new CBA agreement that might be in place in the next few weeks that would expand the NFL playoffs, that would expand the NFL regular season by a game, and it would give a lot more money to the players. And Bob Buehner joining us here in studio as well. Bob, good to have you back. And let's start with this NFL thing first. You're probably going to have three games now for each day of wildcard weekend, six total. You're going to have one bye now for the NFL. Again, this still has to be signed by the players. And then starting in the 2021 season, it's a 17-game regular season and only three preseason games. So your initial thoughts when you think about this here?
I'm retiring to my man cave every weekend of the playoffs, not to come out till probably emerge Monday morning. If you're an NFL guy and woman that just lives and dies with that, this is the news you've been waiting for. And on the upside of that as well is they got rid of one of those worthless exhibition games. The question's going to be, is the money that the NFL players are going to receive, the increases in the overall pool of funds available to the teams to disperse, is that worth adding another game to this? You know,
talk about the NFL.
Yeah, 14 games a few years ago. Now, Steve, 17.
Well, we have to remember there's an order to which this is happening. I think people should be aware what the order is. Tomorrow, by the way, the Players Association will be holding a conference call on this.
How do you get 1,000 guys on a conference call? I guess
it's the reps, okay? And there's an order to which they are doing this. The idea was, let's do the CBA first. That way, we're then settled on 14 teams in the playoffs and a 17-game schedule. Which then brings us to the next critical part. Now we're going to go and negotiate with the networks because their contracts are up. And you're going to now have more inventory to give to the networks. Thus, you can get more money from the networks with more inventory.
And the whole part of this is it's the perfect storm, if you will, of these things. And I don't think it was on plan that the network contracts and the collective bargaining agreement would all be up at the same time.
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
Let's start with when this happens, you are rolling the dice that your Players Association is going to accept what you're doing and you don't end up in a lockout situation.
And we know what that does.
Right. And so that's why there is a roll of the dice in terms of how the order is done. But I think the NFL, in this case, has been smart about it because what they have done is they have sat down and they opened up the bargaining early. They kept it quiet. So there's been no blowback from either side about negotiations. And let's start with the playoff part first. My understanding is is that the playoff part going to 14 games, that was a piece of cake. That was easy. So in other words, sometimes when you're negotiating, you ask yourself, what can I get done first?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do some of the easy stuff first. The 14 teams in the playoffs fell into that category, right? Because, I mean, the players want more teams in the playoffs because they get more money. And you know, for each round that you go, there's more money involved. So it's bonus money for the players participating. So they want more playoff teams. All right? So two more playoff teams is more bonus money across the board for them. The next part is you have to incentivize the 17th game. So how do you incentivize the 17th game? Well, right now the players get 47% of the gross. And it would go to 48% with 16 games, and it would go to 48.5% with 17 games. Well, in the end, that means a $5 billion shift in cash over the lifetime of the contract from the owners to the players.
Yeah, and pretty soon that's real money,
Steve. That's how you incentivize it.
Yeah. That's real money.
That's how you incentivize
it.
Yeah. Right. And so that's how you do this. That's why you need 17 games is hard because that's one more game where it's going to be brutal. And that's why let's take this year and now an extra playoff round. All right. That means, and the other part too is in part of incentivizing the playoffs is currently the four teams, two in each conference, that do not play in the opening round do not get money. Right? Because they're not playing.
Sure.
Under this contract, the two teams that would get buys as number one seeds would get money for not playing.
Well, I put my hand up for that one. I don't have to play, but you're going to send me a check. Okay.
Well, that's why when you go into the suit's office in the corner office, right? He's got that big sign up that says, "My goal is to be suspended with pay." That's our guy.
Yeah.
That's how he thinks. It's a little bit outside the box, but that's how he thinks.
Maybe he's helping with the NFL negotiations. That's why we can't find him anywhere.
No, just check any movie theater. So that's why when this comes, the 14 teams in the playoffs was easy. That was one of the first things they agreed on. Incentivizing the players by throwing in money for the number one seeds getting, that also helped. Now let's get to the other part. If that had been in play, and it's going to be for this year, the 2020 season will be if this is ratified, the 2020 season will be the first year with 14 teams in the playoffs. So this upcoming season we'll have it. In this past season, those two teams would have been the Rams and the Steelers. It also would have meant that the Kansas City Chiefs, instead of playing the opening, instead of getting a bye like they did this year, actually would have had to have played the opening round against the Steelers. Now, you'd be saying, okay, that's a big deal. Who cares?
Well,
you know, the Steelers would not be a bunch of game. But here's the problem. Okay, the problem is that physically you are now risking yourself in another game. Who's to say you play in that game and something fluky happens and Tyreek Hill gets hurt? Or something fluky happens and, you know, God forbid, Patrick Mahomes turns an ankle? Because they had to risk it one more time going out. So it's a little bit more than, well, it's not really a competitive game. The problem is, okay, you're playing in a game that may not be competitive, but guess what? Physically, you are risking yourself again.
And, Steve, it would seem like, in terms of, and I've done labor negotiations, it would seem like you don't put this on the table unless you've had quiet assurances that this is going to happen. You know, you don't risk in-your-face, no, we're not doing it. So there have to have been those kind of quiet discussions, especially among the individual team player representatives on the NFL Players Association, so that they're reasonably assured this will take effect.
Well, the biggest hurdle they had is the 17 games.
Oh, yeah.
Now, remember, originally the NFL kept talking about 18 games. Okay. Well, so they scaled it back to 17. And, by the way, part of this is that you'll only have 3 preseason games.
That's right, yep.
So that's the other part that I don't think has been mentioned in here, 3 preseason games. The problem with any extra games is that, let's face it, if all of us are sitting there in the month of December, what are the quarterback matchups we're seeing right now, and how many players are hurt in the month of December? Football's a tough grind.
Oh.
It's a really tough grind.
Steve, it was a tough grind when there were 14 games in the regular season.
Right. Right.
Well, my question, guys, is, and we can get into this maybe a little bit later, is what that 17th game is going to be. Dan Patrick actually brought this up earlier today on WKOK, and is that going to be a home game for somebody else? Is there going to be an even amount of home and away games now between both teams? Teams going to play neutral sites, and they're going to have to go overseas to like London or Mexico City? Like, where does that lie?
No.
I hope not.
Okay. While a legitimate question, this is how I think it's going to work. You already have that in the Big Ten with 9 games. So during odd years, Penn State has 4 Big Ten home games. During even years like 2020, Penn State has 5 home games. Okay? What you'll have will be divisions and or conferences where everybody in the AFC or divisions where the AFC East, everybody's going to have 9 home games. All right? And then the AFC North, they'll have 8. And 9 and 8 alternate like that. Then next year, it flips where now the AFC North gets 9 home games and the AFC East gets 8. I mean, that's how it's going to work. And now the question is going to be, where do you come up with the 17th game? Because right now the way, and okay, what I'll do is I'll take a break. I'll explain how it's currently scheduled. Then I'll add in some thoughts about how they might schedule it. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, the unofficial home of the suit. All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us. Right, let's explain how the NFL schedules. I think some of you know how it works. I mean, that I don't doubt. A lot of you may not know how it works. You play everybody, obviously, in your division home and away. So now you're at 6. And we're going to get you to 16 here. Okay? And then you play everybody. Let's just take the NFC East. Okay? So let's take it with the Eagles. So the Eagles know they have to play the Cowboys home and away, the Redskins home and away, and the Giants home and away. And the Eagles finished in first place in the division this year. Okay? Now, say this is a particular year where you're designated to play the NFC West. So that means you're going to play the Niners, the Seahawks, the Rams, and the Cardinals. You're going to play 2 home, and 2 of those are going to be away. So now we're up to 10. Okay? Then there is a division in the AFC that you play. So maybe it's a particular year you're going to play the AFC North. So you're going to play the Steelers, the Bengals, the Browns, and the Ravens. And you're going to play them 2 home, 2 away. All right. Now you're at 14 games. All right?
Right.
Well, you've got 2 other games that you have to play. Well, since the Eagles won the NFC East, so they're the first place team, and you're already playing the first place team in the West because you're playing them automatically, the Niners, you also play the first place team in the NFC North. So you'd play what would be the Packers, and you'd play the New Orleans Saints, the first place team in the NFC South. All right, you play one of them home and one of them away. That's how it works. Now, how do you get a 17th game? Do you then play a first place team in the AFC in the AFC, an additional one. So you're already playing, for example, what division I picked, the North?
Yeah.
Maybe you now play the Patriots, okay, since they won the AFC East. Or maybe you end up playing the, who won the South, the Houston Texans? The Texans. All right, so maybe that's how you work, as you stick with a first place schedule, playing other first place teams, but from the other conference. So that may be how it ends up working.
Well, it's a complicated mess for the scheduling, that's for sure.
Well, it's different. Look, obviously they've thought this out.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's too cocky on my part.
I wouldn't go that far yet, Steve. Steve, the question that I have about the scheduling is, when is the season now going to start?
Probably a week earlier.
That's what I was, because normally it's around September 9th or 10th, somewhere in that week.
And probably Labor Day weekend.
That's what I was wondering. And the question then becomes, for those who love college sports, is that going to create a real problem with, you know, the conflict? Because college sports teams on Labor Day weekend do play on Sunday.
Yeah, there's usually one or two games on Sunday.
Usually some good ones, though.
Yeah. No, they do a good job of staggering the opening weekend from Thursday through Monday night. The NFL could care less about whether or not they're infringing on the college game or any other game.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Because, you know, when they moved into Thursday night football, you know, and they want to schedule another Saturday, by the way, coming up as time goes. So they don't really care much about that. So they would probably have a Thursday opening game, which, of course, would infringe on the college game. The only other way you could do it, you have to have a bye in there somewhere. Do you move the Super Bowl back a week?
Well, like it's going to start be in June if we keep going this way.
Well, I mean, this year was, what, February 2nd?
Yeah.
So you play the 9th.
Yeah.
And again, you want it at 6:30 in prime time because February is a sweeps month for television. November, February, May.
Yep. Well,
that's why all the great TV shows are on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and Matt's still watching Real Housewives of Danville.
And a blockbuster that is, that's for sure.
I'm still watching the Pro Bowl. And then Super Bowl 52.
And you notice that's still on in January. All right, more coming up next half hour, brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Best of the best. Awesome sales staff, awesome product, and a great service department. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Coming up tomorrow, Joe Lenardi will join us. We'll talk about the NCAA tournament bracket. He released his latest projection earlier today. We'll talk with my good friend Joey Brackets tomorrow. Also, Nate Bauer is scheduled on the show tomorrow along with the King. Bob Petroni is the head of District 1631 Little League in Luzerne County. No more Astros. Hi, Bob. How are you today?
Steve, I'm doing well. I'm a little overwhelmed right now, but I'm doing fine. Thank you for that.
I'm sure you are overwhelmed. So what went into the decision and what kind of discussion was there to say, in this particular year, we're going to shelve the Astros when it comes time to get kids' T-shirts?
Well, you know, it actually was a little bit of a process how we arrived at this. You know, when the story broke in California about the leagues not wanting to use the name, we had a couple leagues that use Astros in my home district who were wondering what they should do. So I reached out to a couple of my staff members, and we talked a little bit about it. And to take the onus off of those leagues, we said, listen, as a district, we're going to recommend to our leagues that we don't use the Astro name. And the reason for that was twofold. You know, the first reason, really, is right now the Astros are like the scarlet letter of baseball. Right?
Yeah, I've noticed.
Yeah, if our kids put on that jersey, you know, they're opening the door to be ridiculed, you know, to negative condensations towards them. So we didn't want to put our kids in that situation. You know, all of a sudden you're going to hear cheaters outside the fence. And, you know, sometimes 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old boys, you know, they all react differently. So we didn't want to put them in that situation just because of a jersey they're wearing. And the second reason, of course, was, you know, our Little League pledge is to play fair and strive to win. Our motto is courage and character and loyalty. And right now, you know, the Astros don't fit the bill. And we don't want our kids emulating, you know, that type of role model. We want them to know, like, we want to use this as a teaching moment. Say, look, for every consequence or for every action, there has to be a consequence. And right now, they broke the rules. They cheated. So there has to be a consequence to what they did. And the first thing is that they shouldn't be idolized right now. You know, and, you know, I was really disappointed by their remorse or lack of.
Right.
And I don't think that they were sending the right message. And that's not what Little League is about. That's not what we want represented. And, you know, we're here for the kids, and the kids come first. And God forbid we put a kid in an Astro jersey and all of a sudden, you know, I hear somebody banging in the garbage can.
Right.
You know, like, right. Look at that situation.
Right. The report on the Red Sox is going to be released next week. Now, the preliminary part that we do know is that former general manager Dave Dombrowski is not implicated, and we also now know that interim manager Ron Renicki, who was the bench coach, also is not implicated. So we do know that going in. If you don't like the tone of the report on the Red Sox, will you do the same thing with those jerseys?
Oh, well, I would be a hypocrite if I didn't. You know, you know, we want our kids to follow great role models. And if any other team violates the same thing that the Astros did, then they should be held accountable as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely.
Is this a one-year thing? Is it something that a year from now that you'll be you'll say, okay, enough's enough? The Astros are, in terms, because you have to, you're just making up jerseys at teams. I mean, the kids kind of think it's cool to wear them, you know. I understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. This is just something that we recommended for this year.
Bob, let me ask you, how many levels of the Little League actually wear, like, Major League jersey names as opposed to sponsor names? Is there just one level that does this, or is it multiple levels?
No, I think it's prevalent in the Major League division, meaning the 9 through 12 division, where you'll see those kind of those jerseys being used. When the kids get older, it becomes more of a sponsorship more than a than a professional name, because they've sort of outgrown that part
There are 30 major league teams, so how many of those nicknames were you actually using, you know, give or take a couple, because I don't expect you to know the exact number. So how many, approximately how many were you using, 8, 12?
Yeah, well, it's all regional, too. You got to understand that. I mean, of course, in every one of our leagues, there's a Phillies jersey. There's a Pirates.
Sure there is.
There's a Mets, a Yankees. You know, so, we believe it or not, we have a lot of Boston Red Sox as well. So, the Astros became popular when they became very good, and they made their run, and so, you know, Astros started popping up. So, you know, seven, eight maybe teams that they might use in the major leagues.
So you're saying the Diamondbacks didn't make the cut?
No, that you know what?
The Marlins?
The Dodgers do. The Dodgers,
oh, the Dodgers
definitely
yes.
would make the cut.
Yeah, the
and
Dodgers
so do.
The
Braves.
Yeah. Well, the Braves, yeah. No Marlins?
No Marlins. Not that I know of. Not that I know of.
So. Let me put you this way, Bob. All right, if they did, that'd be more people than actually have Marlins gear down in Florida.
Well, I bet. Well, listen, the attendance at the game might be higher as well.
So. Good one. That's a good one, Bob.
So, listen, here's what I want to say, though, and I'll end with this. You know, Major League Baseball and Little League have a great relationship. You know,
yes, they do.
And I feel right now for Rob Manfred to make the decision that he has to make right now, this is tough. This is a very hard, difficult decision for him.
Yeah.
And I would not want to make it if I were him. I mean, I just wouldn't. It's just a tough situation. But listen, they have always been a great friend to Little League. I mean, they do a lot for us, and I just want to make sure that everybody understands that.
Have other Little Leagues contacted you? Now, you mentioned California did this first, but have other Little Leagues now contacted you about this?
No one yet. Now, Buffalo has also done it. There's a couple other leagues that have done it besides California.
Okay.
And actually, I think we're about the fifth one to do it.
Okay. So,
but I think you'll see that trend. Buyers who supplies us with our uniforms, they're not even making the Astro uniform this year.
Right.
They won't sell it. So. It's a shame, but hopefully it'll pass, and everybody learns from their mistake, and Major League Baseball can move forward.
Yeah, well, good solid decision on your part. It is a teaching moment. No question about that. And you don't need the kids. You know, some of it would be good natured and whatever, but still, you know, the kids probably didn't feel like wearing them either. So.
True. Yep.
Bob, thanks so much.
Steve, you know that.
Oh, yeah, Bob, they do know. I mean, the kids know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
Yeah, they know.
I mean, no offense to the T-ball kids. They know what the score is. All right.
Right. Exactly. All right, man.
Bob, thanks so much for your time. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. All right, welcome back. Great to have you with us. By the way, a side note is on Mike Fiers, who's now with the Oakland A's. He's the one that stepped forward and talked with Ken Rosenthal, The Athletic, about what happened. Fire says he's been trying to tune out all the noise, stay off social media, admits that it's difficult in an age where social media usage is so prevalent. That's why I live this life of bliss.
Yeah.
I pay attention to zero of it. And it's amazing how happy you are. The Astros and A's will play 6 series this season. Beginning with a home series in the Coliseum, March 30th to April 1st. Look, what Mike Fiers did was right. I realize some people are saying, "Well, he's a snitch. He did that." Yeah, guess what? It's okay to keep cheating?
And
that's okay.
And allow it to go on without saying anything.
I mean, somebody finally has a backbone and some scruples to stand up and say, you know what, this is wrong. And, of course, Bob, we just had Bob on talking about the Little League decision.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, and that's fine. And that's why we had him on to talk about it. But for Mike Fiers, though, you know, let's face it, there are going to be some people that look at him as a snitch. They're going to look at him as a backstabber. And I'm going to look at him as somebody that, guess what? Okay, you guys cheated. Like, the whole group of you. Right? Now, not everybody. A lot of people tell you Tony Kemp wanted nothing to do with it. He's no longer with them. But Tony Kemp wanted nothing to do with it. You know, and a guy like Fiers is sitting there like, okay, look. Guess what? This, when you know something's wrong, it's wrong. Okay, that's wrong. That's flat out cheating. I mean, it's like watching the suit like move chess pieces when nobody's looking. I mean, we've seen him do it. I mean, it's always at the holiday party.
Yes, it is. I think, Steve, that this whole situation in Major League Baseball, in terms of the Astros and consequences and penalties, is really, really gathering momentum. I think that LeBron James taking a stand as he did the other day has somewhat unleashed the floodgates of others who now come forward and are criticizing commissioner, etc. I don't think this thing is dying down.
Actually, it was the other way around. The major league players were the ones saying something first. Mike Trout and others said something first. LeBron then added in here, and what LeBron said was not wrong.
No.
Listen to your players and so forth. But again, a little bit of his credibility goes by the boards because when it came to the NBA China situation, he was nowhere to be found. And, of course, with Space Jam 2 coming out and China being a lucrative market, you can see why he didn't comment. So he's picked his spots in an interesting way.
Yeah, not a profile in courage when it came to China and what's going on in Hong Kong for sure.
Right, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I agree with you. Yeah, I guess he doesn't expect any of us to remember stuff, but that's the way it goes.
Yep.
But he's not wrong in what he said. Now what he tweeted was not wrong. Listen to your players. The problem is that when you have the union, and I'm not saying this is the union's fault, but it does tie. Okay, if you want to solve it, you had to suspend players.
Yeah,
you had to. Okay, you had to. You had to be able to look at, and I'm not going to pick out specific names here, because that's unfair. But Mike, Bob, Tony, and Al, guess what? You're all going to be suspended. You're 3 months no pay. You're a full season no pay. You're 80 games no pay, whatever. And guess what? Every other dugout is sitting there. And when it comes time to, hey, we know it's a slider. Don't want to know about it. Can't afford the suspension without pay.
Yeah, take the garbage cans out of the locker room. Right.
And not only that, but I mean, Major League Baseball can control the video part of it.
Sure.
Which it sounds like they're going to do. But in terms of the players and the temptation of it, you take the temptation away because you can fine them. And you can suspend them, and you can suspend them without pay. And because they felt they couldn't do it, I mean, if I were Manfred, you know what I would have done? I'd have said, do we have enough evidence here without talking to the players? Yeah, we do. All right, well, if we do, guess what? I'm suspending this list of players right here. And if the union wants to make a stink about it, you sit back and go, oh, really? So you guys advocate cheating. And the union would be sitting there between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, because defending players on one team is going to tick off players on about 28 or 29 other teams.
Which is what it's done.
Yeah. Steve, I would say this as someone who made a living getting witnesses to talk and go in and testify, if you will, at hearings. I have a feeling that the Major League Baseball people felt that they did not have a provable case to the standard they needed to without player testimony.
Right. Well, see, they had fires.
Yeah.
Okay, so they had fires. And remember, when it comes to Hinch, Luhnow, Cora, right, their management, they don't fall under the privy of the union.
All true.
Okay, and that's why, for example, let's take Pete Rose's lifetime ban from baseball. He was a manager.
Yeah. But still, a guy like Cora could say, I'm not talking. I'm not testifying. I'm not going in on this.
You can still suspend him without pay for it, saying sorry.
Sure.
But
oh, yeah. So I really felt that was where they, and I'm not agreeing with it necessarily, but I think that's what Major League Baseball felt, which is why they cut the deal they did, which I'm not so sure was the best thing. And, Steve, the question I have for you is a simple one. Why didn't they just take away the World Championship?
Oh, boy. Now I think you get on a slippery slope.
You do, but, hey, you won. You cheated. We don't have to worry about whether it affected the outcome of the game. You cheated consistently. It was not a one-time little incident. You forfeit it. We've seen other teams in other sports lose their championship because of cheating. Why not here in Major League Baseball?
Well, part of it, when you start like doing vacating stuff.
Sure.
Okay, let's take college basketball. Howard Porter and Villanova. John Calipari's UMass team. Everybody knows they got there.
Well, they do, but you don't get to hang the banner on the wall.
I mean, obviously, I go into Chrysler Arena, and I don't see the two Fab Five banners up there. They took them down.
Yeah.
Now, I saw them play in the in the Final Four, okay?
Yeah.
Okay? So I'm not so sure that is as...
But it's a symbolic thing that strikes at like the owner's pride, and I think that which is college basketball is different than Major League Baseball. College basketball is related to a university, but professional baseball has an owner, and the owner loses the bragging rights, etc., as opposed to an institution. Just slightly different situation.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying.
I'm voting that way anyway.
Right. And I get where you're coming from. Part of it too is, no offense to the Dodgers, but like you could have hit a little better.
Yeah. Yeah. The team did against him, it didn't affect the Dodgers hitting themselves.
I mean, it went seven games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, you'd have to score a lot more because the other team knows the pitches. Now, Giancarlo Stanton saying, I could hit 80 home runs if I knew what the pitch was. And actually, the answer to that is no. You actually have to be in the lineup. All right, so...
Yeah.
As a Yankee fan, absolutely.
You have to play the game, buddy.
You actually have to be available that day.
Poor John Carlos forgot that.
Yeah, it's like every time
that was
you turn
a stupid
around.
Comment.
I could hit 80 home runs. Yeah. Well, you could. Okay, there's a prerequisite to doing it. You got to be in the lineup.
Yeah.
All right, more coming up in the next half hour. Thanks to Bob Bertone, the head of District 1631, Little League in Luzerne County, on the report that the Astros jerseys will not be available this year in his Little League. Bob did a great job in the interview. We appreciate hearing from him very, very much. Thank you, Bob. All right, more coming up next hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.